Lord, thank you. It's a wonderful story we're reading about your grace in people's lives. And we ask, Lord, you'll bless us, Lord. I know it was written to people a long time ago, but Lord, it's your word, and it's your word for today. So I pray you'll bless it to our hearts in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, I left you with this verse last time, in verse 14. Do everything without complaining or arguing. Eh? Now, the reason...
No, I'm sorry.
Chapter 2, verse 14. Do everything without complaining or arguing. Now, Paul's writing to these Philippians. What do you think was one of the problems? I mean, it's a great church, is the Philippian church. but it's not perfect. And one of the problems they seem to have is that, you know, one's wanting to do one thing and one's wanting to do another, and they're sort of quibbling about it and so on. You were saying you were there somewhere the other week where they said, I've got to do this and I've got to do
yeah.
that. Well, that's what he's talking about. They're yeah. complaining that I've not got the job they've got, and arguing about it and all that sort of stuff. So it's church-based to start with, but I think you'd spread it out a little bit further. Because as a Christian, you're meant to live in a different way, aren't you? Instead of complaining and arguing all the time. Because when people complain, have you noticed that negative mindset
yes.
sets everybody off, really? Whereas if you come in with a bit of a cheerful comment, they'll either think you're crazy or they'll change their tune.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah?
It helps if you've only got one leader.
Yeah.
It helps if you've only got one leader.
That's right.
Yes, there are too many leaders in a lot.
Too many cooks.
Churches.
Is that right? Okay, so that yeah. sort of makes it. Well, Paul had that problem in Corinth, of course.
Mm-hmm.
Here it's straightforward.
Straightforward, yeah.
You do what you like.
Do what you like. Absolutely. Yeah. Well, I'm always a great believer in that the Lord has given us the freedom to become the kind of people He wants us to be.
Mm-hmm.
And someone said a very complimentary comment about it in a strange way at the bookshop. I think it was Rosemary, many, many years ago. She said, MEF, they don't clone.
Mm.
In other words,
yeah.
you know, individuals who are part of the body.
Sorry, it's the Life of Brian joke. I couldn't resist it.
Oh, I see. Okay, you see, that's the individuals for you. You got the idea though, but don't do anything, do everything without complaining or arguing, so that you may become blameless and pure, children of God, without fault in a crooked and depraved generation in which you shine like stars in the universe. You see, he's not just talking church there, he's talking about how you live outside, because he's saying the way you live will make you shine
yeah.
in a dark world.
Yeah.
You got the idea?
Yeah.
yeah? And that verse, Paul is a rabbi, he knows his Bible back to front, I guess, and he's really quoting a verse from the Old Testament.
Yes.
It's Deuteronomy 32, verse 5, if you want to find it, or I'll find it for you, assuming I can find it. Deuteronomy 32, verse 5. Let's see. We'll get back to Philippians in a minute, but that's where he's coming from. Deuteronomy 32, verse 5. Where is Deuteronomy? Where it's always been. Deuteronomy 32, verse 5. If I've got the reference right. Yes. He's talking about his people, Israel for a start, yeah? He says, they have acted corruptly towards him. To their shame, they're no longer his children, but a warped and crooked generation.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and he's saying that the people, because they turned away from God, were part of the warped and crooked generation instead of being light to the crooked generation. Yeah, so that's where Paul's quoting from. Yeah, and he's saying, well, Jesus said something very similar in a way. What were we meant to be? Salt and light.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, let your light. So shine before men, they see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. Yeah, so we're meant to be shining lights. Wonderful examples of how good God is, eh? well, we're all learners. I mean, that's one of the things. Yeah. Best we can say is we're all sinners saved by grace. That's the other thing. Yeah. Well. As you shine, as your children of God, without fault in the crooked generation. Well, without fault. That doesn't mean to say you're perfect, by the way, but yeah, yeah.
It's never my fault.
Sorry? It's never your fault. Ah, well, that means something differently, of course. Yeah. Yeah. Children of God, without fault in the crooked and depraved generation, in which you shine like stars in the universe. So we're a light. We've got something to give. That's the point. Yeah? In our world, and as you hold out the word of life. So he's saying, I want you to be people who don't argue and quarrel all the time, but you're living it how it should be. And as a result, people can see something about you, and you're holding out the word of life, and that's what it is. The gospel is the word of life. It brings people from death to life, makes new people out of them, eh? And that's what we're holding out. You hold it out, you can't make people eat it though.
No.
You notice that. Mm. You can offer it, and it's them that have to choose it or reject it. I mean, that's as far as it goes. Mm. That's our limitation, isn't it? Mm. But thank God, he's chosen that as we offer it, he'll get them to want it.
Mm.
So, that's a good combination to work with, isn't it? Mm. And he says, you do this so that, and this is what Paul is talking about, in order that I may boast on the day of Christ that I did not run or labour for nothing. He's boasting. What's he boasting about? And when's he boasting? On the day of Christ. What's the day of Christ?
When he comes.
When Jesus comes back, yes. When the day of Jesus return and the judgment's there, yeah? When Jesus comes back, on that day, I'll be able to boast that I did not run or labour for nothing. What's he getting at?
Everything he did was right.
Yeah. That what he did, yeah, the work he'd done, the trouble and time he'd spent on the Philippians wasn't wasted.
Yeah.
He's saying, I want to be able to say, when Jesus comes back, Lord, you see what you did through me with this lot.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's what he's looking forward to. And he's encouraging them, you know, to live for the Lord so that when they stand before the Lord, it's going to be a compliment rather than a criticism.
Would that be whatever I do something to the Lord?
Yes, that's what Paul is saying. But yes, he's saying that, in a sense, it's a reward, isn't it? He's saying,
yes,
I'll have the reward of seeing you get there.
Yes, yes.
That's the blessing I'm looking for. Yeah. So I didn't waste my time. I didn't run or labour for
in
nothing.
Vain, yes.
I like how Paul uses the word run there.
Yes.
He never did anything slowly, it seems to me. He's a
yes,
fairly active chap.
Yeah,
right. But then he goes on to say this, but even if I'm being poured out like a drink offering on the sacrifice and service coming from your faith, I'm glad and rejoice with all of you. Now, does that sound strange language to you?
Mm-hmm.
If I'm being poured out like a drink offering on the sacrifice and service of your faith, coming from your faith. It is strange language, but I told you he's a rabbi, and he knows his Bible, and he's now quoting from, if I can find the reference, Numbers 15 verse 5. Let's have a look at Numbers 15 verse 5 then.
Mm-hmm.
Where's Numbers? After
Exodus. Numbers. Numbers.
Yes. Numbers 15 verse 5. There's actually quite a few references in this little section, but I've just chosen one verse out of chapter 15. Verse 5. He's talking about In Numbers, Moses is referring to the different offerings and sacrifices that were being made. And he says this, with each lamb for the burnt offering or the sacrifice, prepare a quarter of a hin of wine as a drink offering. So that's the background to what Paul's, we'll come back to what Paul means, but he's saying, in the Old Testament times, they had an animal sacrifice or wheat, food type sacrifice, some sort of offering, and as part of that, you had to include a drink offering. That was the quarter of a hin of wine. I don't know how much that is, but it's quantity of wine, which they poured on the sacrifice.
Mm.
Yeah? So it's part of this offering. Yeah? Mm. The full sacrifice. Now then, back to Philippians. Paul is saying is, I'm like the drink, and you're like the animal. Yeah? You're offering yourselves in service to Jesus, and I'm being poured out in that service to help you love and honour the Lord.
Yeah.
So he says, even if that's what's happening, even I'm being poured out like a drink offering on the sacrifice and service coming from your faith, I'm glad and rejoice with all of you. So he's glad, glad to be worn out for Jesus to bless these people. That's what he's doing. So he's a drink offering in that sense. He's using that Old Testament imagery. Of course, what he's doing is he's spiritualizing it.
Yeah,
because all the sacrifices, when Jesus has done his job, they're finished. So it's the spiritual meaning he's picking up now, and he's saying is that I'm like what they used to do in the temple.
Yeah.
I'm now the offering myself.
Yeah.
And I'm glad, and I rejoice with all of you. And so you too should be glad and rejoice with me. So he's being poured out as a drink offering. What, how is he being poured out as a drink offering? He's done a lot for these Corinthians, Philippians. But where is he at the moment? When he's writing? He's in prison. He's been arrested. Yeah? And he's, essentially he's saying is, I might die for this, you know. I've been poured out. My life could be finished. Yeah, he says, I'm glad. And you should be glad too, because we're in God's plan. It's all part of what God's doing. That's what he's saying. So I want you to be glad, because whatever happens, that's how it's going to be. God's going to get the glory. So in verse 19 he says, I hope in the Lord Jesus to send Timothy to you soon. So Timothy's with him.
Yes.
Yeah? And he's hoping in the Lord Jesus to send Timothy soon. Well, what he means by that is?
He's getting out.
Well, Timothy's getting out. If Timothy was in, not in the first place, I don't know.
No,
but,
no.
I hope in the Lord. What is he saying?
If it's God's will.
If it's God's will, I don't know how things are going to turn out.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but I'm hoping in the Lord that that's how it's going to be.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that's the plan I'm making anyway. To send Timothy to you. Timothy's going to go to see them. That I also may be cheered when I receive news about you. Because he's hoping that Timothy will find out about them and bring back news of what's happening. Good to know. You see, they didn't have the mobiles in those days. Yeah, the only mobiles were the people. You had to send them and bring them back, of course. And he said, Timothy's coming to find out how it is. And he says this about Timothy. He's a reliable chap, this Timothy. And there's a challenge for us. I have no one else like him who takes a genuine interest in your welfare. Timothy. Young Timothy. Well, Timothy was sort of Paul's trainee, in a way.
Yeah.
And nobody else like him. He was very close to Paul, and he's obviously very, very keen to want to serve the Lord.
He looks after people.
Yeah, yeah. He takes a genuine interest in your welfare.
Yeah.
I don't mean this any flippant way, but when you meet people and you say, hello, how are you doing? You're not interested in knowing how they're doing, really, are you? Just saying that, aren't you? Are you? We shouldn't be. If we want to know, if we're genuinely interested in people, we're asking how they are. Yeah, it's not just a conversation.
And then we add, really?
Really,
yes.
Yeah, you want to know it's genuine, yeah. Well, Timothy was the really type of guy. He wanted to know how they were doing. He was really concerned that they were going on with the Lord. Because it was a... Remember when you went, when we looked at where the Philippian church started in the first place. Paul got thrown in prison. The church was in a bit of a tight spot to start with, you know, and so it wouldn't have been easy for these Philippians to be a followers of Jesus. And so he's concerned that they're still going on.
Yes.
Because when things get tough, people can fall off.
Yeah.
And so that's why he said, Timothy's concerned. He wants to see how you're doing. For, and then he says this in verse 21, for everyone looks out for his own interests and not those of Christ Jesus. Oh dear. Everyone looks out for their own interests. Is that right?
Not everybody.
No. It's sort of what we call hyperbole.
Yes.
He's saying a big thing to describe something a bit smaller. But
yes.
A lot of people, I think we could say, Paul is saying, is a lot of them are in it just to look after themselves. He's quite anxious about it, really, isn't he? Everyone looks to his own interests and not those of Jesus Christ. Well, that's exactly what Paul wasn't. Paul was willing to lose everything for Jesus. Can you think of someone who was in danger of packing up? I'll give you a reference to him if I've got him here. It's chapter 4 of 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy 4:10. Who's this guy? Have you heard of him? See if you find his name.
Demas.
And Paul writes right at the end there, Demas has forsaken me because he loved this world. He thought, I prefer to have the easy life rather than to suffer as a Christian. So he left, packed up. And that's what Paul's talking about, you know, they're in for themselves, and when it gets tough they leave, which is not good. But that's not always the case, and I just want to encourage you, when someone goes off the lines and stops being an outward Christian, don't just write them off. You never know. And I've got one example of that. Let me just quote to you. It's Acts 13 verse 13. We've seen this chap before. Acts 13 verse 13 talks about somebody, if I can find him, from Paphos, Paul and his companions sailed to Perga in Pamphylia, where John left them to return to Jerusalem. Paul had gone with his travelling companions on that mission, and they'd taken John, John Mark, he's young, inexperienced, he's enthusiastic, a little green behind the ears, I suppose we'd call him. And when they get to this bit of Turkey, where there's robbers, there's rivers, there's danger, John Mark thinks,
later.
Not now. Yeah. And he leaves and goes back home to Mum, I assume, in Jerusalem. In fact, we find that Paul and Barnabas have a fallout out about John Mark, because Barnabas wanted to give him a second chance, and Paul said it's not wise to take him, because it can endanger us. If he blows it, it'll put us in trouble as well. So they had a big dispute about that, and one went one way, one went the other. John Mark, write him off, he's a waste of space. Is that right?
He did go again,
ultimately. And in one of Paul's letters, I haven't got the reference for you, but in one of Paul's letters, towards the end of Paul's life, he says, send John Mark along, he's useful for me.
He come good.
And I know how well he came, because we have a book in the Bible that he wrote. Mark's Gospel. John Mark wrote it. I mean, he was the pen man. It's actually, John Mark became a friend of Peter as well, and the tradition has it that John Mark was writing down what Peter was giving him to put down, yeah? But John Mark came good. So just because they bottle out, as they say these days, don't write them off. But Paul is concerned, you know.
What did it happen? John Mark, when did he write the Gospel, and when was he with Paul in Rome?
That was towards the end of Paul's life. AD 60, round about there, I think.
And that's about when the Gospels were.
Must have been. That Mark's Gospel. Yes.
That's
the same time. Yeah. Yes. Mark's Gospel, really, is that this. Well, it's a long story, really, but the. It's just a question of when the Gospels are written. And what. In originally, usually people thought that the Mark's Gospel, being the shortest one, was the first Gospel written. That's come into a big question in these days as people started to study the Hebrew backgrounds to them. And tradition is wrong at that point, I think. And essentially, the argument would be it's Luke's Gospel that is the basis for the other Gospels. Obviously, the collected writings and sayings of Jesus and so on that came to be put together in the Gospels. The interesting thing being, and just as an example of this, Luke's Gospel is easy to translate into Hebrew. So it's coming virtually from the horse's mouth, as it were. Mark's Gospel is very difficult, because Peter is doing a summary, a synopsis, a quick overview, and that's somewhat later, I think. He's summarising things. But anyway, that's something about the Gospels. But when they came to be written, they were written within the lifetime of the apostles. We know that. That's one of the things about the Gospels. Yeah. Right, well, we've sorted that one out for the moment, yeah? Everyone looks out for their own interests, not for those of Jesus Christ. Verse 22, but you know how that Timothy has proved himself, because as a son with his father, he has served with me in the work of the gospel. If you want to know that Timothy's the genuine article, then just look at his track record. He was probably in Philippi, at the beginning, so he was with them when things were tough, and he's followed and been serving with Paul ever since. So Timothy's got a good track record, so you can accept him as a good lad, yeah? I hope, therefore, to send him as soon as I see how things go with me. He's on trial. He could be on trial. He could be convicted and executed.
Yeah.
Yeah, we don't know. You see? He's just waiting to see how it works out. Yeah? And I am confident in the Lord that I myself will come soon. So he said, I really feel that's what God's going to do, but I don't know.
He's going to get him off. He's got faith.
Yeah, he looks, he's got faith. Yeah, but the Lord moves in mysterious ways.
He said he's confident.
Yeah, yeah. I'm confident, he said, but he's not sure. We'll see in a moment. Yeah, yeah. He's confident that God can do it. No problem, God can do it.
Yes.
Yeah, but how God works things out, you don't know sometimes. Well, let's have a look at this. This is a really interesting one, yeah. I think it necessary, but he's going to send Timothy, but I think it's necessary to send back to you Epaphroditus, my brother, fellow worker, and fellow soldier, who is also your messenger, whom you sent to take care of my needs.
Mm-hmm.
Epaphroditus, interesting chap, we don't know anything about him, except he came from the Philippian church. The church had sent him to come to Rome to provide help for Paul.
Mm-hmm.
He must have brought finance, some sort of practical help anyway, somewhere or another. The church couldn't come en masse, but they could send somebody to be a helper. And that's what the church in Philippi, that's why Paul's writing this letter. Thanks very much for what you've done for me. Yes, that's part of it. Yes. Epaphroditus was the messenger. And he's described, as Paul just says there, my brother, fellow worker, and fellow soldier. Mm. Fellow worker sounds he's been doing the work, but fellow soldier means he's been involved in the war.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Being a Christian in Rome in those days was not easy.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, Paul says, this is Epaphroditus, I'm sending him back to you, right? For he longs for all of you. So he wants to go, he's homesick, I suppose, in a way. Mm-hmm. You know, he wants to see how all his family and friends are, I suppose. Yeah, that's what he thinks about the church. It's his people, his friends, yeah. He longs for all of you and is distressed because you heard he was ill.
Mm.
Poor old Epaphroditus was ill. I wonder how they found out. I said they didn't have emails and things like that. But word seems to get around pretty fast, doesn't it?
Mm.
See? Yes. Mm. So the church in Philippi, depends on how long Epaphroditus was in Rome, of course, but they found out that Epaphroditus was ill. So they sent their messenger and lo and behold, the poor chap gets ill.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think of that?
Very ill.
Well, we'll get to very ill in a moment, but
mm-hmm.
you know, was it the enemy? I think it might have been.
Yeah.
Trying to make things difficult for him or mm-hmm. whatever, but anyway, these things happen to believers. Did you know that?
Yeah.
Did you know believers can get ill?
Yes.
Don't listen to all the American evangelists.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, believers can get ill.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but that's not the end of the story, as we'll see, yeah. He longs for you because you heard he was ill. Indeed, he was ill and almost died.
Mm-hmm.
So he got into a pretty low state.
Mm-hmm.
Almost died.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the question I ask here is, what about Paul's healing ministry?
Yes.
Because Paul healed people, didn't he?
Yeah.
God healed people through Paul, I'd say.
Yeah.
He prayed for him. I'm sure he prayed for him.
Yeah.
But I get the impression he prayed for him and he hadn't changed. At first, anyway.
Mm-hmm. God had changed
then. Yeah. At first, yeah. God's the healer, but you can't make him do things until he's got it sorted, whatever he wants to do, yeah?
Mm-hmm.
So Epaphroditus, poor lad, he's almost dying. But Paul says, but God had mercy on him, and not only on him, but also on me.
Mm-hmm.
God had mercy on him. Well, that whether it was through prayer, it would be through praying, of course. They were praying for God to heal him. And what happened? He got healed, eventually, somehow or other.
Yeah.
God healed this man.
Yeah.
And so he's ready to go back to tell them he's okay, of course, because they're concerned about him. God had mercy on him.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I thought Paul was saying in chapter 1, for me to live is Christ, to die is gain.
Yeah.
It'd be good for him to go home, won't it?
Not yet.
When he's ready as well. You see, it shows us the two sides of being a believer, isn't it, while we're here.
Yeah.
You know, we've got friends, brothers and sisters.
Things to do.
You know, we have attachments with people that we love and care about, yeah, and when we lose them, that's hard.
Mm-hmm.
That's what Paul's getting at. You know, God had mercy on him and on me. Because if I'd have lost him, I'd have been grieved.
Yeah.
I know where he's going. I'm glad for him. But we've got the pieces.
Yes.
Exactly. You see what I'm getting at? That's what Paul is saying. He really, really is a human being. He cares about this guy and how he's doing and how the church is getting on as well. So God had mercy on Epaphroditus. He spared him. Right? And God may have had mercy on him and taking him home as well. You know, that's another way of seeing it sometimes, isn't it? But in this situation, prayers were answered.
Mm-hmm.
And I think Paul prayed. Yes, Paul laid hands on him. But God ultimately answered his prayers.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So don't give up. There's a classic one, this whole matter of praying for the sick. In 2 Corinthians, isn't it? Where Paul says, I had these amazing revelations of heaven, things that I can't talk to you about because I can't describe them and you wouldn't understand anyway.
Yeah.
But he says, in order to stop me from being proud about all of this, I was given a thorn in the flesh, a messenger from Satan. Yeah? I don't know what the thorn in the flesh was.
Mm.
And he says it was Satan provided the aggravation, but God gave it. That's interesting, isn't it? He allowed him to have it.
Yeah.
And he said it was the reason why God allowed him to have this trial, or whatever it was to stop him being proud.
Mm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And Paul comes to terms with that in the end. But the point I'm trying to say is, Paul believes God can heal. No problem with that. He's seen it. He knows that, yeah? Paul believed God can heal, and he said, I pleaded with the Lord 3 times to take this away. Whatever the thorn was, and we're not described, I think it was his eyesight. I think he had real problems with his eye trouble. But I'm guessing there. He does mention it to the Galatians.
Mm-hmm.
But whatever it was, he said, I pleaded with the Lord 3 times to take it away. Yeah? Do you know why he prayed 3 times?
He didn't want an
answer the first time. He wanted God to take it away.
No.
Yeah? And he says, and the Lord said, no. He says, no. My grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness.
Mm-hmm.
And Paul says, my weakness is God's opportunity to show it's him and not me that's doing it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah? So he says, I'll accept that.
Yeah.
But what I'm getting at is, Paul believed God could heal, Paul prayed for God to heal, and if God says no, well, we accept what God says.
Yeah.
But he really believed God would heal, that's why he prayed 3 times. That's my argument, yeah?
Mm-hmm.
He didn't stop first time, he kept going until he got the answer that God says, no, I'm holding fire on this one, Paul, it's for your good.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Mystery,
wonder,
is it not?
Three times is pretty good.
Yeah,
but our 333. 330. Yeah. We've not got the message yet then, have we? Well, no, persevere. Keep praying.
Yeah.
Jesus said,
yeah.
there's a passage in the Gospels, isn't it? Jesus said, Jesus gave this parable, I'm not sure where it is, it's in the Gospels, isn't it? Jesus gave this parable in order to teach men that they should always pray and not give up.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
Good.
And then he told this parable. About the chap that kept going to the house and saying, I want some bread for a visitor who's just turned up.
Mm-hmm.
And the chap in the house says, can't get up, I'm in bed, it's too late.
Yeah.
Lock the doors, I'm in bed, lights out, too bad.
Yeah.
And the chap kept banging on the door.
Mm-hmm.
Until eventually, he said, he gave him what he needed, not because he was his friend, but because he couldn't shut him up.
Yeah.
He said, if that's how people are, think what your father's like.
Yeah.
He's willing to do what he wants, what you want for him, yeah? So keep praying, don't give up. And if God says no, learn how to accept things sometimes, yeah? Anyway, Epaphroditus, he survives. Praise the Lord, yes? To spare me sorrow upon sorrow. Therefore, I am all the more eager to send him, so that when you see him again, you may be glad, and I have less anxiety. So he says, I'm sending it to him, so that when you see him, you'll see he's okay. After all he's been through, he's okay. And you'll be glad, and I'll be glad. And he says, and I'll have less anxiety.
Yeah.
That's an interesting use of the word anxious there.
Yeah.
Because you'll see later on in chapter 4, he says, Jesus says, don't be anxious.
Yeah.
Right?
Be anxious about nothing.
Be anxious about nothing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What does that mean, as opposed to what Paul is being there?
Yeah. Take it to him.
Paul isn't anxious in the wrong sense of the word, whittling away, worried and all that sort of stuff. He's concerned. Okay. The way we translate that phrase, word there, would be concerned. I'm concerned for him.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah? And I'm concerned for you, because I want you to be okay knowing he's alright.
Yes.
Mm. Yeah. That's not anxiety in the wrong sense that Jesus means. Concerned. Worrying about this, worrying about that, worrying about whatever. Yeah, that's the anxiety that Paul says we should be, and Jesus says we should be. But you can be concerned about people. Yeah? Is that right?
Yeah.
Good. We're allowed to care. That's the point. So I'll send him to you and have less anxiety. Welcome him in the Lord with great joy and honour men like him, because he almost died for the work of Christ, risking his life to make up for the help you could not give me. So he's saying to them, when he comes back, you give him a celebration welcome.
Mm-hmm.
Honour men like him. Yeah, he's been a great guy. He's done a good job. And he's earned his stripes, we'd say. Eh?
Yeah.
He's done his stuff and he's got the record to show it. And he's done what you couldn't do for me. And so he's worth celebrating when he gets back. Mm-hmm. I wonder how he felt when he got back. A bit embarrassed, I should think, when they were. Of course, the other interesting thing, and we'll stop there, but the interesting thing is, it would seem, who was the postman for this letter to the Philippians?
He was.
Yeah. So he's taking this letter saying, have a good time with this guy, he's a great guy. A bit embarrassing, really, isn't he?
He wouldn't have read it.
No.
I don't know.
No.
I don't know.
I wouldn't have thought so.
You don't think he opened it before he got there?
I've seen the envelope.
That's the possibility, yeah. But he's a good man. And what Paul is really getting at is that we ought to recognise when people do good things. You know, I mean, the danger is we'd be so humble that we ignore people altogether. You know, it's all the Lord's doing, and it's nothing to do with him, it's nothing to do with me. And Paul's saying is no. God's worked through him, and he's done a great job. You celebrate that. And you tell him that he's done a great job. Appreciation, brothers and sisters, goes a long way, I would say. Yeah?
Mm-hmm.
Guys.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, Dennis, for all you do for me.
That's very kind of you. I wasn't fishing for compliments. It's nice, isn't it? Okay, well, let's pray, shall we? Oh Father, thank you for these dear people, long gone home, Lord, and yet their lives tell a story about their humanity, their cares, their worries, in a sense, their concerns, the trials they faced, and yet the victory that you gave them through it all. That Lord Paul, your servant, could be, while he's languishing in prison with the threat of execution ahead of him, yet Lord, can write such a warm thank you letter to these dear people who meant so much to him. Lord, he had the victory, and we pray for ourselves, Lord, you help us to know how to face the challenges that come our way, as Epaphroditus did and Timothy had to and others besides, Lord. We pray you help us to be people who do shine like lights in a falling and fallen world, Lord, that we may be those that hold out this word of life to people. Lord, may we enjoy its benefits now, because we know, Lord, you're the God who's promised to help us.
Amen.
We bless you for that, Lord. Amen. And thank you for the future that stands before us too. Amen. So, Lord, help us to be faithful. Well, Lord, we wouldn't condemn Demas and others and John Mark and so on, Lord. They were weak human beings, just like we are, Lord, on our left to ourselves. But, Lord, we come to you and pray for grace. Lord, we ask your mercies and thank you for your patience and kindness to us. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.